Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's One Last Thing with co-host Slava Cooperstein. Slava, how you doing?
Can't complain after a win like that, Ken.
Nope. Great win. And we're talking about what to do this week, and we've always got our little things we can either pick on or add to, or what could be better about the offense or this kind of thing. But this week, we want to just enjoy the moment here. Big win over the Bills. Home primetime win. Had one of the really nice runs in Ravens history. And we thought we'd do those two things. Talk about the greatest runs in Ravens history. Talk about the greatest primetime wins in Ravens history. But to start us off here, Slava, why don't you take us through one of your favorite runs of all time? Or am I starting?
You're starting, Ken. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll go ahead and start. Okay, well, the number five run on our combined list of runs was Willis McGahee, a 77-yard run, but maybe not the one you're thinking of. This one came against Oakland on 1-3-10. So the Ravens were in the last game of the season. They needed to win to earn a spot in the playoffs, and they beat Oakland in Oakland. And McGahee's 77-yard run, which put the Ravens up 13-3 at the time, was really the big play in that ball game. But that's the first one on my list.
And Ken, actually, I was wondering whether this was the stiff arm from hell against Hiram Eugene, and in fact was. McGahee, of course, was a very decisive runner, had a really good nose for the end zone, of course, in short yardage situations, wasn't necessarily known for his super long touchdowns, although he appears on this list twice. And I mean, I think it is a well aptly named stiff arm from hell, because he really put Hiram Eugene of the Oakland Raiders on his butt, and it was just a ferocious run.
All righty.
And I will go ahead and go with mine. One of my runs, favorite runs, is from one of my favorite games ever in Baltimore history, and we'll be discussing this twice, is the back-to-back touchdown runs from Willis McGahee and LaRon McClain at the last game in Texas Stadium in 2008. So this was a pretty special game for a lot of reasons, not the least of which that Jerry Jones thought that the Baltimore Ravens were going to be terrible and sort of picked us as a sort of a farewell swan song kind of opponent. To close out the historic Texas Stadium. And what he didn't count on is McGahee splitting the defenders for a 77-yard touchdown, then becoming immediately one of the longest runs in Ravens history, followed by LaRon McClain doing the exact same thing almost. The defense was in sort of the same kind of got sucked in, and McClain and the announcers could not believe. I remember it was Dion. Yeah, Dion. I mean, he just sounded disgusted, at what Dallas was doing defensively. And LaRon McClain, you want to talk stiff arms from hell? He immediately stiff arms Dallas. Yeah, that's right, Ken Hamlin, and runs right over him and just goes the distance. closing out the Dallas Cowboys in shame on that day, and letting them get on with their demolition festivities.
Their celebration and whatnot. They were the two longest runs by an opponent in Texas Stadium history, and they occurred in the last 2 minutes and change of the last game there. And that still is remarkable to me. You know, the stadium was around for 37, 38 years, whatever it was. I think it opened in 70 or 71. And there were no other longer runs by an opponent. So that was pretty cool. I'll move on. Jamal Lewis's 295-yard day is remembered by a lot of people. The signature run from that day was the opening 82-yard run on his very first carry. In fact, he had 105 yards after two carries, but his first was for 82 from the 18-yard line for a touchdown, set up the whole day. It was said that Ogden went over to him at halftime with 183 yards and said, let's go get 300 kind of thing. They just came up a hair short, but what a day for Jamal, and one of three very long runs he had. He had 49, a 62, and an 82 that day en route to 295.
Yeah, this is a run and a game that I would recommend to any fan who might be, you know, maybe just remember Jamal Lewis in his sort of last couple of years in Baltimore, where he became a little less explosive, still very tough to bring down, still very dangerous. I mean, but this run and this game really showed what a lethal combination of explosive, you know, fast contact balance. Yeah. I mean, you know, it had everything, right? And Jamal Lewis really was a complete running back. And this was, you know, a great example of that en route to an historic season for him. So the next one that we've got is, of course, what we saw on Sunday. Derrick Henry, 87 yards versus Buffalo on Sunday night. First snap of the first game. Without spoiling, you know, what's number one on our list, it certainly reminded me of the number one run on our list. And, you know, at the end of the day, what I kind of view this run from Derrick Henry as sort of representing is, this is going to represent what the best of the Derrick Henry acquisition had. And this game kind of represents that too, right? Because it's not only did Derrick Henry do extremely well with this run, but, you know, the O-line that we decided to go young and cheap on blocked well for him. And of course, you know, leading up to this run, of course, the Ravens got a three and out defensively right before then, showing that at least for 1 week, the front office's decisions on how they were going to allocate their resources and towards Derrick Henry really was going to pay off.
The amazing thing about the run, I do not believe any defender ever touched him on the play. He didn't run through any hole where he was close to being touched. If I'm wrong about that, it's possible, but I believe it was 87 yards before contact on that run. Which is just incredible. The Ravens have had a good year for before contact, but one of the things Henry came to Baltimore for was the ability to get level two opportunities for first contact. And he made the most of this one, and fantastically blocked up play. Really shows in a lot of ways how the eligible receivers on the Ravens really excelled in their blocks. The linemen were fine too, but the eligible receivers were outstanding. Patrick Ricard having the great kind of a trap block in there as well, being one of the big ones. But great run. I know I'll never forget the look of it. It's a visual memory. It's already burned in my mind, and I'm sure for a lot of us it is.
Statement game on national television.
There you go. I'll go to the number one run of all time. You have to go back to 2010 in January. So it was after the 2009 season. That Ravens team had squeaked into the playoffs the week before with McGahee's 77-yard run. But it was a very, very good football team. In fact, I would say it was the best team of the first five Harbaugh years. The 2012 team won the championship. Other teams won 12 games. The 2008 team had gone to the AFC Championship game as well as in 11 and lost it. But the 09 team had an unbelievable offensive line and the best of that era. And this game, it really showed up. They ran the ball right down the Patriots' throat 52 times, the first play from scrimmage, again, very much like the Henry play, very much like the Jamal play, all the first play from scrimmage. They're at the 17-yard line. Rice runs it 83 yards right up the middle. This running was a little more maze-like that game. Rice squeezed through some very tight holes, and he squeezed through immediately into level two. There are a pair of combination blocks, one by Grubbs and one by Yanda, getting up into level two. Yanda took care of Guyton after he pushed Wilfork off at center. And there's still an enduring image for me of Wilfork discussing what had happened to him on that play. And, you know, using a fist to punch into his open palm, indicating that he got pushed out of the way by Yanda on the play. And it's one of his highlights, certainly, in the Hall of Fame career of Marshall Yanda. And for Ray Rice, certainly, it would be the highlight. But he outran Merriweather then the last few yards. He really realized Rice had some speed as well as a player. So very exciting and terrific run, and it set off a rout of New England that was one of the few black marks on a 20-year period of outstanding playoff football. The one team that they were really afraid of playing at home was the Baltimore Ravens.
And I really think that feeling started with this game. I believe that this is the first game that Baltimore ever beat the New England Patriots on home. Playoff or regular season. And it was there was sort of a little bit of a rivalry bubbling because of a couple games where some kind of, Patriot type things that you might expect. Brandon Merriweather was a headhunting safety who had injured Todd Heap. Suggs got some ridiculous flags in some regular season games because Tom Brady whined for them, you know, but it's not really a rivalry until you beat the other team, right? And so not only did we beat them for the first time, but we beat them in the playoffs, and it did not get better for the Patriots after that run. I mean, we demolished them as one of the most comprehensive Ravens playoff wins in history. I just love every second of it.
The score doesn't even reflect properly just how one-sided that game was. I think it's 33-17. I think they end up winning by 16. But it was – maybe it was 33-14. Yeah,
they might have won by 19. They might have scored off of a special teams flub, if I recall correctly. Maybe like a kickoff a kickoff return fumble or a punt. Some kind of special teams mistake. They got a short field. The game really wasn't as close as the score suggests.
24-0 in the first quarter. So, all right. Well, we're gonna move on from there, and we're gonna talk about this was obviously one of the really statement great primetime wins in history. The Ravens have a lot of those. One of the things that's interesting about this is the Ravens have played 86 primetime games in their history. 49 of those have been on the road and 37 at home. I don't know why, but I do know the Ravens are very upset about that relationship. And they should be, because the Harbaugh era, they've been nearly unbeatable at home. They've been 21-3 at home in primetime. And of course, this year they're 2-4 in terms of home and road primetime games. But we're gonna talk about our favorite 10 games. We got a list of five each. We're gonna kind of go through these pretty quickly, but start us off, Slava.
Yeah, so I'm going to start off with Harbaugh number one, which was 49ers at Ravens, Thanksgiving 2011. So it's a Thanksgiving game. It's the first meeting of the Harbaugh brothers as head coaches. So it's already a very special game. And I view this game as the game that absolutely 100% solidified Terrell Suggs' Defensive Player of the Year campaign. The 49ers, who were a rapidly ascending team, might sound funny to somebody who goes back and looks and sees that Alex Smith was at the helm. But in fact, Alex Smith took them to an NFC championship game that year, as well as the following year. Alex Smith started the year as the quarterback in 2012 before Kaepernick took. So he, was playing the best football of his career at that point under Jim Harbaugh's tutelage. And Suggs, of course, had a monster game. He had three sacks, which does not account for how badly he wrecked that offensive line all game. And the team had nine total sacks, which was pretty remarkable. The 49ers were just a really excellent team that just came in probably thinking that they could hold their own. And what they found was a buzzsaw.
known for an outstanding offensive line at that time too. And the nine sacks, one of the things that I've heard on, I don't remember if it's a Sound FX or a Game of the Week. I think it might be a Sound FX, because I remember there's a whole lot of jawing from Ray Rice in that game. He's talking to the other team constantly, which is like, I didn't really know this was a big part of Ray's game, but if you didn't, you got it in this video, no doubt about it. But anyway, they had Alex Smith on the sidelines, and he kept talking about seeing a lot of color. And he meant that he kept seeing the Ravens uniforms flashing in front of his eyes as he's trying to concentrate down the field. And it was really bothering. So that's always a good sign when you get the opposing quarterback seeing color.
And Ken, I would say for my money, of the first five teams leading up to the 2012 Super Bowl, I would put the 2011 team, I think, as my pick for the best, just because they had a really, I felt, the best balance of offense and defense during that mm-hmm. time. And I think that Flacco was, by that point, a huge asset, whereas, you know, earlier in 2009, you know, he was still kind of figuring his way out. A lot of good teams to pick from, but I think 11 was my favorite.
All right, fair enough. And it's my turn, right? We'll go to the Cleveland, the win over Cleveland, 47-42 in 2020. So many things to talk about in this game, but the Ravens were trailing, I believe, by 1 point in the fourth quarter. They had a fourth and five, too far to kick the field goal, though Chucker supposedly ran up to Harbaugh to try and get it done. And Willie Snead ran up to Harbaugh wondering if it was his turn to go in the football game because Trace McSorley had just been hurt. And out of the bathroom came Lamar Jackson on fourth and five. In one of the most iconic moments in team history, he runs out of the field just as they go to the two-minute warning, I believe. And then they go, and here comes Lamar Jackson. Jackson, of course, ran on the field, rolled right, found Marquise Brown for the touchdown, and the rest is history. Cleveland did end up tying the game. Lamar drove him down the field again. Game-winning field goal put them up 45-42. They had time for a kickoff. They kicked it deep, but not into the end zone. It was returned anyway. And then they had a series of laterals, which ended in a safety and a 47-42 Ravens win. The Ravens were 3.5-point favorites. And just after the game, they went to the show Bad Beats on ESPN, which is Scott Van Pelt's show. He may still have that, I don't know, but it's hilarious. The show is generally very funny. And he didn't even have to say anything. He just looks at the camera, kind of raises an eyebrow. I guess, I mean, he makes all these gestures with his hands, but he doesn't say a word. And the support staff there in the room is laughing hysterically at him doing this. But anyway, great game.
It's so funny to me that the Ravens still maintain that this was anything other than bubble guts on Lamar's part. You know, just, you know, happens to the best of us. He comes in, it really, you know, when I remember exactly what you're saying, when the announcer's like, and here comes Lamar Jackson. It felt like a wrestler entering, right? Like, you know, it was, you know, really just dramatic, remarkable stuff. Showcased the special connection that Marquise Brown and Lamar Jackson had, and you know, the rest is history. So the next one that I have on my list, number four, is 2021 versus the Indianapolis Colts. Probably one of the most impressive comebacks in Ravens history. The first, you know, 48 minutes of the game were not very impressive. The Colts were up 25-9 with 12 minutes left in the game. The offense, I think, up until that point had been sort of very anemic. The Ravens did exactly what teams should do in this situation and not worry about putting the ball in harm's way and just let it all fly, let it all hang out. Because nothing I can't stand when somebody's like, you know, down 25. I think the Bills did this. They were down 25 points and they punted this past week. And I asked myself, why do coaches do this? A punt cannot do anything for you. Just toss it up. Maybe you'll get lucky. So in any event, the Ravens luckily did not wave the white flag. And at both the 9 minute and 38 second mark and the 35 second mark, the Ravens marched down the field and got two touchdowns, and I believe both 2-point conversions were to Mark Andrews. So Mark Andrews accounted for, you know, 16 points in that last 12 minutes, tying the game up. And I think by that point, you kind of think to yourself, okay, it's game over. We're going, it's sort of like a Mile High Miracle when we tied it up. I kind of felt all of the momentum was headed our way. They must be dreading, you know, the overtime. And of course, 5 minutes and change left to go. Marquise.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
East Brown touchdown in overtime sealed it. And I believe it was probably Lamar's most impressive stat line ever in that game.
It's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He certainly had some great ones. Punctuating those two touchdowns to tie the game in regulation was a huge blocked field goal by Calais Campbell in that game. It just, that was a special magical night all itself. There's been a few of those, but that was a great one.
And just to go over that stat line, Lamar went 37 for 43, 442 yards, and four touchdowns, no interceptions. And passer rating was 140.5. Okay. There was a fumble that I believe was lost earlier in the game. And so that sort of, I think, put them in a bind. But for that, you know, last 12 minutes plus overtime, Lamar was transcendent.
All right, let me move on. There's two games from 2001. I want to make sure we don't forget that era of Ravens football. So it's had some great primetime wins. But in 2001, the one I excluded was the last game of the season, which is a rescheduled week due to 9/11. The Ravens needed a win. They beat the Vikings, four sacks by Peter Boulware, terrible game, 19-3, but the Ravens dominated as they needed to do. The game I picked was from Tennessee at midseason, and the Titans were struggling to get back into the race after an 0-3 start. The Ravens went down there, and they had a 16-10 lead as McNair drove the Titans down the field, completed a pass to the one-yard line, had just enough time to get the team up the line of scrimmage for what was going to be fourth down, okay? Peter Boulware was already celebrating, and he came back on sides, but he touched the lineman as he did it. The officials stood aside for 7 minutes, 6 minutes, and in that range, trying to decide what to do. And finally, the first official came out with a play of this magnitude, which he should have never started, because the magnitude of the play doesn't, should not matter at all for officiating purposes. But he started with that. He said, you know, as soon as the defender touched the offensive lineman, that killed the play. So we'll have one snap, half the penalty is half the distance of the goal line. So from the half yard, from the one to the 1.5 yard line, and the Ravens penetrated, stacked up McNair. McNair tried to go right, and Sharper and Harris tag teamed him to take him down. The Ravens held on to win the game 16-10. Just a fantastic memory for me. Went down to that game in Tennessee with a friend, and I had all but given up. I as soon as the touchdown, they scored the touchdown on the play that didn't count, I walked up to kind of get ready to leave. And there's two problems with that. There's an extra point still to kick, and then there was a penalty that hadn't been assessed yet. But great football game.
Yeah, I think the announcing by the referee was probably the thing that I remember the most about that. There are just some moments in Ravens history, you know, Suggs with malice in his heart and the like that, you know, once you hear it, you'll never forget it.
Giving him the business. Yeah,
that's right. And it's just a great win against a major rival at that time. So the next one for me is the Jackson 5 at the LA Rams in 2019. One of the, you know, most comprehensive beatdowns and probably the smoothest that the Ravens offense looked in 2019, which is saying a lot because that obviously was an impressive year, but it really just solidified the sort of the passing efficiency that was there along with the running dominance. You know, the Ravens go there, win 45-6. And again, Jackson 5, there's five Lamar touchdowns. You got a pass to Hollywood, two passes to Hollywood Brown, I think two passes to Willie Snead and one pass to Mark Ingram. And a couple, maybe some runs in there. Primetime game in front of a pretty raucous LA crowd. And it's sort of enduring memory here for me is that the game was against, so the Rams had acquired Jalen Ramsey, of course, and because of that, we were able to acquire Marcus Peters, who really helped transform a struggling defense into a pretty dominant one. And just Jalen Ramsey, or rather Marcus Peters jawing at Jalen Ramsey throughout the course of the game and really providing the hype.
He had a lot of fun. He had a late interception in that game as well to really seal the deal for him in a way. And I think that Eric Weddle, who was then with the Rams after 4 years with the Ravens, said it best. He said, "They peeled our faces off." And it was really just, it's one of those games that's about as one-sided as it gets in Ravens history.
Yeah, complete dominance.
I'll move on. I'll take the San Francisco game last year. This was two of the top DVOA teams in the history of that, of the calculation of that metric, meeting on the same field. And the number, I believe they're number 4 and 5 all time at that point. And the Ravens destroyed them. They, knocked Purdy out of the game. Purdy went to the sideline, was replaced. And he later asked, you know, "Can I go back in the game?" Shanahan put the play calling card up to his face and said something back to him that I can only imagine was, "We're not taking a chance with you right now," kind of thing. And, he stayed out. Ravens had 4 or 5 interceptions in the game, 133-19. And thoroughly dominated that game. It wasn't as close as that 14 points would indicate.
Yeah, I mean, this was during sort of like a real string of games where the Ravens really were kind of dominating some of the excellent teams. I mean, this is the reason that Lamar really solidified his MVP campaign last year is because he did it against the best that the NFL had to offer. And he did it, you know, week after week after week. And you know, it just really speaks to what a dominating team that 2023 Ravens team was. And so for the next one, I just sort of hinted at this earlier, is 2008 at Dallas. This is one of my favorite games in Ravens history, of course. We did a whole episode on it. You know, in addition to those two phenomenal runs from McGahee and LaRon McClain, this is one of my favorite, maybe the favorite Derek Mason game in Baltimore history. Derek Mason was, I believe, nursing a previously dislocated shoulder or sprained shoulder, something like that. He was basically playing with one arm. An enduring kind of image for me is Mason running into the back, I believe, left corner of the end zone, you know, his right arm sort of hugged, at his side. He can't move it whatsoever. So he basically, you know, and has a one-armed catch that Flacco places absolutely perfectly, where no other defender can get it. And I believe his celebration was a round of applause with one hand, you know, he did something like that. So that was a heroic, heroic game for Derek Mason, and sort of really was one of the early examples of Joe Flacco sort of being able to step up in a pressure situation in a game that was nationally televised, in a game that I think very few pundits thought the Ravens were going to win. And they did so in a physical fashion, befitting the insult that they took at Jerry Jones, specifically selecting them to be the last team they hosted at Texas State.
Critical game on Christmas Eve. They played that 12-24-08. And the other Mason highlight from the game, I thought you were going to say this one, is he had a remarkable fumble recovery downfield. The same issue with the playing with one arm, et cetera, that sustained a drive. The other thing I can kind of remember about is Sanders was in the booth, and Sanders had just played for the Ravens recently in 2007, I believe, maybe 2005. I may have the year wrong. Okay, it doesn't really matter much. But he last played for the Ravens, but he was calling plays out as the Ravens came to the line of scrimmage. Oh, they're getting Todd Heap matched on a fall linebacker here, and they would line up. He'd know exactly what they were trying to do, and that was really Sanders as a defensive back really being able to look over an offense and see exactly what they were up to. But remarkable. And then of course I don't think he was particularly happy with the result, having the even though he had been a Raven more recently, but going down for the festivities afterward, he probably would have rather the mood be happier and the Cowboys had won the football game. One of my favorite things about what they did with that site after they imploded the stadium is they used it for a staging area for materials to expand the highway system there. Have you ever been down to Dallas? I know how shitty traffic is down there. It's all highways and overpasses. Land is flat, so you have to build your own kind of bridges over other roads where the highways intersect. Mm-hmm. And that creates this huge amount of material that's needed to create those roads.
Yeah, no, it's about all Texas Stadium was good for, if you ask me. And you're absolutely right about that Derek Mason fumble recovery. I mean, he lucked out. I think it was LaRon McClain who fumbled, and it just kind of popped into him. But for him to be as aware as he needed to be to react in that situation, and again, do it with one arm, a legacy game for him.
Yeah. Oh, it's my turn now?
I believe it's yours, Ken, yeah.
Okay, so you did that. Okay, so my next game is Sunday night. The game against Buffalo, I think, deserves a number two spot on my list. A huge statement win, old school Ravens vibe. What's great about this game is they really shut down a quarterback and a fan base that is just constantly kind of jarring and jabbing. Right now, the Twitterverse lights it up between anything Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore in terms of their quarterbacks. I know everybody's very defensive of their guys. We don't think they realize, why Lamar is really valuable because he makes all the other players on the field better. They don't think we take passing stats seriously enough. So it is what it is. But to really shut down Josh Allen, and he did everything but throw an interception in this game because he didn't throw a touchdown pass. He threw for, 4-point-something yards per throw. That wasn't impressive. So very impressive game for the Ravens defense. They really only had one blunder by Eddie Jackson not covering the back end and letting a 52-yard play happen. But they dominated this game thoroughly, and they ran the ball right down the Bills' throats, and they could do nothing about it. So it's one of the really great ones. I'm sure I'm going to think of this as one of the really great ones for many years.
And, regarding that 52-yard play, it took probably, I would imagine a top three pass of Josh Allen's career. Mm-hmm. There are very few passes that I've ever seen in my entire life that match what he did. He, had about an inch of space left before he was out of bounds, and just contorting his body, and just a real testament to his arm strength. Really impressive.
It was a great pass, and we need not take that away from him in any way just because it was a coverage blunder as well. I will say one other thing about this game that really makes it special. It had been almost 3 years since the Bills had been beaten by more than 6 points and the Ravens destroyed them by 25. It was a one-sided game. It did have that feel even momentarily in the third quarter. The Ravens were potentially going to blow an 11-point lead, but they quickly turned it around on the Van Noy strip, and the lights went out.
Kind of had the feeling of a game where the Ravens really figured out what they were made of, heading into the rest of the season. And I guess we'll see. So my number one game, my number one primetime game is 2012 versus New England. And this is a memorable game for a number of reasons. It is, I believe, the first regular season win against the New England Patriots by the Baltimore Ravens. Sort of started off on a somber note. Torrey Smith, unfortunately, his younger brother or half brother had died in the early morning hours from a, I believe it was a motorcycle accident or a motorbike accident of some kind. So Torrey Smith decided to play with a heavy heart, and he had probably, I would say, along with the Mile High Miracle probably his career defining game. Had two touchdown receptions, if I recall correctly, really took over that game and played phenomenally. This was a game, of course, where early on in the season, the refs were on strike. They had the replacement refs going on, which led to two sort of hilarious, enduring moments or images for me. Justin Tucker, again, this is a big game for him. This is one of his earliest very, very clutch kicks.
Third game. Yep.
Yeah, third game. He kicks it, I wouldn't exactly say through the uprights. He kicks it kind of over the uprights. Mm-hmm. And so really took a reading of the rules very closely by the officials to determine that that would count as being in. So the first enduring image for me, of course, is you mentioned his name before. Who was the defensive tackle? I can't think of his name right now. The
Wilfork?
Yeah, Wilfork. Yeah. Completely escaped my mind. So Wilfork, of course, ripping his helmet off and, shouting at the officials when they called the field goal good. You can see him at the bottom of your screen, just screaming and losing his mind. And of course, Belichick with the missed tackle on the official. It's just for which he got fined, I think, pretty handsomely. He went and actually ran up as the official and all the other players are just running off the field. Game's over, right? The final score has been called and Belichick lost his mind and runs over and tries to tug on the official who just doesn't even give him the time of day. It's phenomenal. Right.
And he was furious. That was clear. Okay. My last game, also a New England game in 2019. The 8-0 Patriots came to town to face Lamar Jackson and his MVP run. And to put this in context, I mean, we know how good the Patriots were for that entire era, but the 2019 Patriots were on pace to beat the 2000 Ravens defensive scoring record through eight games. So they're 8-0, and the Ravens blasted them 37-20 in a game that was not that close. They dominated it thoroughly. One of the things after the game, and you still see this in Tom Brady today, is a great deal of respect for Lamar coming out of that game. And Lamar ran for a touchdown. I don't remember how many touchdowns he threw for, but it was a tremendous Lamar performance in that game. Worthy of the MVP there. And Brady came after the game that was caught on somebody's microphone, great game. I'm a big fan kind of thing. And I think to this day, with him announcing the Cowboys game, you really heard a lot of that fanboyness coming out of Tom Brady and his respect for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, this game actually sort of mirrors the Buffalo game to me in a way. It an undefeated opponent coming in who, really, it's a question of have they been tested and how are they going to react to Lamar? And they just, both teams seem to be thoroughly unprepared for what the Ravens were gonna throw at them. I think Baltimore had at least on the fan base side, had a bit of a chip on its shoulder. People talking about how the New England Patriots, 2019 New England Patriots were going to be the, greatest defense of all time and, supplant the 2000 Ravens or any other team that you want to throw up there. And of course the Ravens put that to rest with haste.
There's a lot of 400 hitters in April is what I always say with regard to this. There haven't been any 400 hitters on October 1st since 1941. So it's it really, you gotta endure the test of time to be the 2000 Ravens team, and that's really nice. It's always fun to do that show with you, Slava. Great trip down memory lane with these runs and these primetime wins. And I hope we have a chance to do one or two more of these episodes this season where you really reflect on, was this the greatest something in Ravens history? Because it's kind of fun to do that. But tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
I'm on Twitter at Slava Cooperstein. That's SlavaKuperstein.
All right. Other folks out there, hit me up if you'd like to be on a film study short. DMs are always open on Twitter for that. If you want to support the show, you can like or subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, always nice to drive traffic to the show in that way. You can also just show the show to a friend. Take them to the website. Show them how to play it directly there. And hopefully get someone else interested in it. For Slava Cooperstein, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. And we'll talk to you next week on One Last Thing.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.